Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered and saying to me, "Who are these arrayed with white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again so he can continue to serve and care and keep his sheep, dear fellow redeemed. This is now the third of our sermon texts as we travel through the book of Revelation that picture a resurrected Savior, Jesus. It's probably good for us again to review the purpose for this fascinating book. The book of Revelation presents a general outline of the battle of Christ and his church. In this book, there are seven visions. And these seven visions are not chronological sequences of time, but seven different pictures, seven different portraits, seven different snapshots of the same battle. Christ against Satan, believers against unbelievers, the church against this sinful world. And in this book, the Holy Spirit uses visions, pictures, symbols, numbers, and colors. This fourth Sunday of Easter is often called the Good Shepherd Sunday. And in our reading this morning from John 10, we heard all that our Good Shepherd, Jesus, has done for us. He has given us life. When the going got tough, he didn't flee like the hirelings would flee. When his flock was surrounded by enemies, he laid down his life for his sheep. He gave his life to conquer enemies. But then he took it back up again. For what good would it do to be shepherdless with a dead shepherd? So he rose back to life and lives forevermore. We heard that in John 10, Jesus is our good shepherd, the one who knows each of us by name, the one who calls us to his side and speaks to us through his word, the one who holds us in his loving arms that we'll never, never be plucked out of his arms, keeps us safe, the one who's given us forgiveness of sins and assures us his sheep of everlasting life. But the most ironic thing about this greatest of all shepherds is that he also was a lamb. In the last verse of our text this morning, verse 17, we read, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water." And so we've entitled as our theme this morning, "The Lamb has become our shepherd." Unheard of. But then again, What a wonder our salvation is. Just think of these fantastic things. God becomes a human being. The baby boy, born in a barn, becomes the king of heaven and earth. The high priest who sacrifices becomes the sacrifice. The beaten, whipped, ridiculed, lowly rabbi who's crucified becomes the ruler over sin, death, Satan, and hell. And the lamb who is slain becomes the shepherd who leads. Only through eyes of faith could we see these things and believe them. To the unbelieving world, all these statements, it's sheer nonsense. So once again this morning, we're given a picture of eternity. John sees a throne. On the throne is a lamb. Around the throne, he sees a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Here we see the promise of Jesus fulfilled, when Jesus said, "The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations." And he said, "Many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." These glorified believers from all around the world stand before the Lamb who's on the throne, dressed in white robes. And white, of course, is a symbol, picture of purity, holiness, glory. And they have in their hands palm branches. And they're waving the palm branches, which symbolism was used for festive occasions, for royalty, and for victories. In my study, I found out that an old custom among some of the Christians was that they would bury their believing loved ones with a little palm branch in their hands. Lay them in a casket with a palm branch, signifying the victory of life over death through Jesus. Again, like last Sunday, we hear a song of praise to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then all the others standing around them, like last Sunday, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, and the angels echoed that song of praise by saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Their amen testifies to the truth of what they've just said, and repeating it intensifies the meaning of this truth. So who are all these people? Well, we're told these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, some people, as we heard in our Bible class several weeks ago, believe that that talks about the great tribulation of the end time. But this great tribulation refers to chapter 6, just before chapter 7, which was the visions of the six seals. Those visions of the six seals describe the horrors of war and famine and pestilence and disasters and persecutions throughout all time. And the Greek word for coming out of the great tribulation is in the present tense, which means it's a continuous action, not a one-time thing. It continues to take place. Every time a child of God dies, he comes out of the tribulation of this world. So this great tribulation is none other than all the trials and troubles and sufferings and sorrows and persecutions and tribulations that this world has for us as children of God. Paul said that in Acts 14:22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Any of you have seen your loved ones dying? It is a coming out of tribulation, is it? As their body decays, as their heart stops beating, as it slowly shuts down, they're being delivered from the tribulations and sorrows and sufferings, diseases of this life. So why are they all dressed in white robes? Because they were washed in the blood of a lamb. That's a figure of speech. Now Jesus' shed blood has washed away all their sins. John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all, literally each and every sin. In Isaiah, we read these very comforting words, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in Isaiah we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. If we don't have faith that Jesus' shed blood is the only cleansing agent that can wash away the black, filthy stains of our sins, then we will stand on judgment day before our God and Lord, covered with the blackness of our own unrighteousness, our own sinfulness. There's no way to cleanse ourselves. There's nothing we can do to get rid of those spots and stains of our sinful thoughts or words or actions. No cleansing agent that we can give, money, offerings, good works, whatever it may be. We can't get rid of the spots and stains. They're there. But thankfully, God has declared us righteous in Christ Jesus. This single act whereby God washes away our sins with Jesus' shed blood and then takes Christ's righteousness and assigns it to us allows us to stand before Him on Judgment Day in robes of righteousness. We sing that in Hymn 371. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds on judgment day, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. But that's just the beginning. This Lamb has not only washed away our sins and given us His righteousness so that we can stand in perfect righteousness before God, He also, as a good shepherd, takes care of us, leads us, and gives us eternal blessings. In verses 15 to 17, seven of these eternal blessings are pictured. Eternal bliss that we'll enjoy because of what our good shepherd has done for us. Read again. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We look at these phrases one by one. The first one is this. They are before the throne of God. No one can imagine what's that going to be like. Standing there, in front of God's throne, seeing our Savior face to face. The psalmist pictures it this way. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus tells us this about the resurrected believers in Luke 20. Nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. We'll stand where the angels stand, around God's presence, seeing our triune God with our glorified eyes. The second picture of eternal bliss, and serve Him day and night in His temple. Well, that doesn't sound like it's going to be fun. Well, work here on this earth is oftentimes hard and tiring, difficult, and many times even unrewarding. In heaven, serving the Lord will be a pleasure. It'll be pure joy. What an eternal privilege we'll have to serve the Lord with our praises, our adoration, our worship, and whatever other ways we can, in thanksgiving and appreciation for all that He has done for us. Third picture of eternal bliss. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. There's a lot more here than just, God's going to sit there and be with us. Literally, the word mean dwell among them means that God will spread his tent or his tabernacle over us so that we'll find safety under his tent. Safety and protection from all evil. No danger to threaten us. No enemies to fear. We'll be covered with his tent of protection. What a comfort that is. Fourth picture. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. When God cursed the garden after Adam fell into sin and Eve, it became a difficult task and tiring to try and earn a living from the ground. Hunger and thirst were not easy. It was suffering to get that fulfilled. And today we see drought and famine around the world. People die because of lack of thirst. People die because of lack of food. Not so in heaven. In fact, in heaven, we'll be so fully provided, that we'll be perfectly content. Perfectly satisfied. Imagine that. Fifth picture. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. The sun, which was originally created by God as a blessing for life, now because of sin, sometimes is an oppressive instrument of heat and pain and suffering and dangerous with its rays. It's also a symbolic picture of all the natural disasters of this world that afflict us. Tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and mudslides and forest fires and tsunamis. They'll all be in the past. Because in heaven, in the paradise above, there'll be no discomfort, no pain, no disease, and no natural disasters. The sixth picture of eternal bliss. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. Water is a common picture in the Old Testament for salvation. Jesus also used that symbolic language when he's speaking to the woman at the well. And he said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." What a beautiful fulfillment of the 23rd Psalm, which we sang this morning. The shepherd, who is a lamb, will lead us beside the still waters forever. And finally, the seventh picture of eternal bliss, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many times do we cry? Little children cry quite a lot. But we also cry. Sadness comes, sorrow, sometimes even thinking, remembering sad things, lead us to cry. We cry in sadness, we cry in despair, and those tears well up and they drip down our cheeks. But the Lord says, in heaven, we are comforted in knowing that Jesus will remove all remembrance of all the sorrowful things of life. And he'll take away those tears that we've shed and turn them into shouts of joy. Perfect gladness. We read in Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's tenting with us, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be there with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." This fantastic scene of God's chosen and redeemed people gathered around the throne with all these pictures of the eternal bliss of heaven must have been a great source of comfort and encouragement to John and others of his day who were facing persecutions and trials and tribulations because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But this great scene of heaven is also an encouragement to you and to me as we live day by day and face the trials and temptations and tribulations and troubles of this life, eagerly waiting for and earnestly watching for the glory that shall be revealed in us when our good shepherd returns. May we ever be zealous and eager to do our work and service to the Lord Shepherd. With this prayer in our hearts and upon our lips. Come, Lord Jesus. Quickly come. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.